Hey everyone, welcome to D20 Dames. I'm Kat Kruger, your host and Dungeon Master. This is our first recording. I am super excited to share it with you. We are a group of ladies who really love D&D. We love it enough to start an actual play podcast. Once we're fully up and running, our plan is to release episodes bi-weekly, but for now, here's a sneak peek at a prequel adventure. So we're starting off with a D&D 5e series of mini-adventures, and they're called In Volo's Wake. For anyone who's interested, you can find these online in the DM's Guild through Wizards of the Coast. First, though, let's get to know everyone at the table.
Okay. Hi, I'm Maris. I'm online as the Fabric Alchemist, and I am playing Rose Lau, who is a human monk from the Shulung region of the Forgotten Realms. She is just kind of short, about 5'1", pretty fit. Is traipsing around in a finely woven kind of indigo silk twill ensemble tunic and pants, and a kind of quilted jacket to stay warm in these mountains.
Hi, my name is Jen Vaughn, and you can find me online at the Jenya, and I'm playing Riot Boneserker, a winged tiefling ranger. She is mostly red with black wings, silver horns, and is probably in a dusky black and green outfit, but, you know, cut for movability in the forest.
Hi, I'm Essie. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EssieCharm. I'm playing Navarre Moore, the half-elf warlock, who has the Raven Queen as her patron. She's tall and has alabaster skin with dark blackish blue hair, kind of has like a blue undertone to it and shines a little bit dark blue in the sun. And she's usually cloaked in all black, which is kind of a nice contrast to her super pale skin. She also has kind of piercing blue eyes because she's from Sosol, which is the Frostfolk region of freezing glacier tundra areas, and all the people there are really pale and striking like that, as if they were made of snow, but she's only half made of snow. So yeah, that's that.
All right, so you all came to Phandalin. It's a town on the rise after suffering from a devastating turn of events in its history. It's growing due in no small part to a tome called Volo's Guide to Monsters. It's kind of like, if you think of Fantastic Beasts and Harry Potter. So Master Volo wrote about monsters in the region, and as a result, adventure tourists and thrill seekers have basically torn through town, for good and bad. You all happened to be near the quest board when a council member waved you over. And inside, the counselors explained that there was this self-proclaimed hobby character named Lord Eric Merriweather, who has gone missing. For a fee of 50 gold pieces, you all agreed to head to the hamlet of Halfway to speak with Lita Rawlings at the local tavern to gather more intel on the situation. You've arrived at the place that the council people have told you about. It's called the Cumbute Inn, and it's the local tavern, and it's the only public accessible building in this tiny little hamlet. So the door to the inn is it's propped open by a barrel. Inside, you can see about a dozen of the town residents. They're all human. They're eating, drinking, laughing, telling stories. As you stand in the doorway, you see that behind the bar is this well-dressed young woman pouring a mug of ale. She's got this really wide, earnest smile on her face, and There are a handful of kids that are scampering around the tavern. And, you know, despite its remote location in the mountains here, it seems like it's really well stocked with breads and cheeses and dry meats. There are a few swords that are hanging up along with ornamental shields and pole axes displayed prominently on the walls, along with this huge painting of an eagle's eye view of the town built on the grassy butte. So inside, people are just, they seem like they're, I don't know, like happy, celebrating. At a couple tables, there are people who are telling these really tall tales of legendary beasts and epic heroes and characters. And it seems like the people in this village are just trying to outdo each other with the stories of their ancestors. But their stories quickly die down when they catch you standing at the doorway.
How much for the cheese?
Yeah, Navar sees that ale being poured, and she sees all the snacks, and her normally, like, pretty, like, I'm chill and cool kind of look on her face, and she's all like, oh, that looks good. I want some of that. And she's, like, kind of beelines to the bar.
Yeah, are you drooling? Because Rose is drooling.
So when she catches sight of you, Lita, and, you know, because the sounds around the bar have sort of, like, died down, Lita behind the bar, she quickly says, don't stand around with gloomy fate looks on your faces. Let me pull your flagon of our finest and only ale. I shan't take nay for an answer. Are you part of the afternoon's entertainment, then? Smashing! So do tell us a joke or sing a song right quick as you can. Otherwise, I'll give your butts the boot off our boot before you can say cheery bye.
Riot is wide-eyed because she has never heard a brogue in her life of any kind. And she lifts, her wings come up, and she flaps them once, and the gust of wind closes the door, and she moves forward.
Is she entranced? Like, what happened?
Like, is she, like, tickled? Like, she's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's into it. She didn't know she was, though.
It happens.
So Lita is, like, very, she's very amicable, but she really wants, like, she's encouraging you to perform something. And there's a desperate look in her eyes that you need to perform something now.
Please, please entertain my guests, my patrons.
Yes.
Navar, like I said, quickly kind of makes her way to the bar, and she's like, yeah, I'll get one of whatever that finest whatever. I'll ignore the fact that you said it's your only ale, but if you say it's the finest, then go ahead, sling me a glass.
Truly the finest in the region. And then she'll pour you up some ale for all of you. Now do tell us sing us a song, will ya?
Well, I don't do a lot of
surely
singing.
Surely one of you has some talent of sorts.
Navar reaches down and pulls out this finely carved flute from her boot, and she kind of tosses
excellent.
It up and gives it like a few twirls, and then grabs it, and kind of, you know, perks her eyebrow up a little bit and holds it out and just gives a smirk, but doesn't say anything. Just kind of look in to see what the barmaid's reaction is.
That looks quite lovely. Do you play a tune?
I mean, you're looking for something like that. I mean, I said I don't sing, but, and she kind of twirls it through in between her fingers.
If it plays a tune, we're eager to hear it.
But then her eyes go to the ale, and she's like, but first, I'm going to need that.
Certainly. And then she just pushes it towards you. And what of your friends? Do you happen to know a song or a joke?
I could... Rose does a quick flip and ends in a one-handed handstand.
Ooh.
Without kicking anybody at the bar.
Navarra's like chugging the ale, but like sees it on over the top of the mug, and her eyebrows kind of raise, like, impressed.
Nice.
Riot reaches into her bag and pulls out a little harp that looks like it has been strung off of probably a rib bone of some type of animal or a chest bone. Mm-hmm. And plucks a few strings, looking at neighbor, like, you know, are we in the same tune? You want to give me like a G or a C?
People around the room just sort of like, they sort of gasp at when Rose does her flip, and you get a few little weak claps, and they're just sort of waiting for the music to start.
So is Rose. She's waiting for the music to start so she can get out of this handstand. Or maybe do another acrobatics trick. But she's waiting. And she's looking awkwardly kind of upside down at you.
The blood rushing. I realized she was still in a handstand this whole time.
Riot repeats herself. I said, do you want to give me a G or a C or pick a key?
So this whole time, like, Navarre's just been chugging. Like, she just chugs. She's tipping the mug back. And she, you know, tips it all the way up. You can tell she's getting the very last drop. And she goes, and slams it down on the counter. I love the local nectar of every town I visit. It's just exquisite. She does, like, a little chef's kiss. And then she goes, all right, is this what you want? And then she just goes right into playing the flute, twinkling her little fingers across the holes, and it's very surprisingly jaunty for how, like, mellow and, like, chill she tries to come off. And I'm assuming she kind of, you know, looks over to Riot, hoping she's into it.
Yeah, Riot starts jamming, like, a little the harmony to her her melody, like, nodding her head approvingly, and then her tail starts to thump out a percussion. Nice. And then they both turn to look at the blood-filled face of Rose.
Rose.
Well, and with that wonderful percussion, Rose starts taking off again, doing flips and whatnot around the tavern, and then and eventually lands back at the bar and holds out her arm for a mug of ale.
and Lita obliges. I need you to all do a charisma performance check for me.
Uh-oh. Oh, well.
We have 14. If I'm doing acrobatics, do I get a bonus if I have proficiency in that? Or if I'm skilled?
Yes.
19.
Well, I rolled poorly, which is super unfortunate considering how high my charisma is. I got an 11.
Yeah. Also considering how much the entire performance is depending on you.
I did just chug an entire mug of ale, like, really quickly.
Yeah. It went right to your head.
And I haven't eaten yet, so, you know, right into the bloodstream.
Oh, yeah.
What did you get?
I got a big old 10.
All right.
Right.
So everyone around the bar, around the tavern is duly impressed, and Lita claps, and she says, oh, that was lovely. And she passes around a hat for people to put tips into. And she says to you, while I collect these for you, how about I meet you around back by the well? And I'll have this out to you with another flagon on the house.
Yeah, there's a little red flag flipping up for Navarre, and she is definitely going to do an inside check.
Okay. You can do, roll me that check.
Yay, 21.
Excellent. So, Lita is like absolutely telling you that she's on the level with you. She's a little bit nervous, but she's completely on the level with you. She's not trying to fool you into some sort of like back alley stabbing or anything.
All right.
Riot gets the idea that she might want to talk out of the earshot of others and starts going towards the back door.
Rose grabs a block of cheese and some bread and then continues on with the rest of them.
Yeah, Navarre had the same idea. So she, wait, do you grab the whole block or just some of it?
Oh, that's a good point. I assumed that there is a knife already stuck into the cheese block, so I just use a knife to crack off a smaller block of cheese, and okay, I rip off a section of bread, so I have little handfuls of each in my hand.
Riot looks back at the two of them and goes, "Is there any blue?"
Navar definitely grabs what's left, which is like probably too much, but but it's fine. It's they're very large handfuls, but she's just like she bites right in and follows behind them.
No, it's only sheep cheese.
Ugh, goat cheese, sheep cheese, yeah. All right, so outside by the well, you're waiting there, and eventually Lita comes around with the hat that she passed around, and she shakes it out and says, "Oh, that was a fine bit of song. Here you go." So you get a tip of 8 gold pieces.
Each, or?
That was total. So.
Okay. Oh, math. Couldn't have been 9 gold pieces?
Let's round it up to 9.
So Navar's like, "Oh," and then like takes her staff and kind of pokes at the hat and like, "Is that all?"
Yeah, Lita throws in an extra gold piece. She's like, "There you go. Fair is fair."
Thank you.
Navar grins.
Right, Riot jokes. I mean, I was playing 2 instruments, but it's okay.
I think you took your fair share of the food then, didn't you, from the wedding? Are you here about that missing lordling then? She says in a hushed tone as she looks around. I've been trying to get the attention of those muckety-mucks and Vandalin for 3 days now. And to be perfectly honest, there's too few of me to go sneaking after an empty-headed dandy. But I cannot help but feel sorry for the poor lad. I'm guessing he ran afoul of a goblin tribe near, neck-deep in the forest. It's all very unusual, you see, because they don't normally go on the offensive like other goblins do. I just didn't have the numbers, time, nor patience to go after the fool.
How long's he been gone? Navar says after swallowing a big chunk of bread.
He's been well on 3 days now.
How long have you known Lord Merryweather?
He's come back and forth through halfway to get resupplied for his little adventures. Maybe a week or so.
How is he at his adventuring, like, on the level here? Like, is he actually capable?
You know, the poor fool, he calls himself a character. I think he might be daft.
We've been getting that impression.
And he certainly didn't have the footwear nor the equipment to go monster hunting or gallivanting around in the crooked forest.
Wait.
Tells you that.
What did he leave with?
Was he wearing flip-flops?
Is that a traditional
it's a
footwear of your people?
It's a tiefling thing we wear it for when our hooves don't feel great, or, you know, our claws. Don't worry about it.
That makes perfect sense, but no. Lord Merryweather, he was dressed as a lord, wouldn't you know?
So he was shiny when he went into this forest?
Fancy silks and fancy shoes.
He might as well have just had a target on his forehead.
Man. That seems about right.
Oh, boy.
So have you come for the missing lordling? I assume so.
We have.
Will you go after him, then? Did you need assistance? Was it the council that sent you?
Yeah, there was a little discussion of payment, and, you know, we kind of agreed upon once we go find the poor fool and bring him back, then, you know, we'll be looking to be handsomely rewarded, because we're no amateurs.
Oh, you certainly don't look it. So the council agreed to pay for you then?
More or less. They would prefer less, we would prefer more.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not certain how much I can gather up, but if you're able to bring the lordling back safely, I'll try what I can to up whatever the council has offered, and perhaps also a potion of healing for your trouble upon your return.
For each of us?
Unfortunately, I've only the one. We are a wee hamlet. These things are hard to come by.
We appreciate it, Lita.
Yeah, but who's the one in town that's making these? Because I feel like maybe I should meet that person.
It's traded from Vendelin.
I see.
I only got my hands on it because these fools keep coming through here, and you never know when one might need a potion of healing.
That's fair.
Lita, can we ask you one more thing? Can you tell us what Lord Meriwether looks like?
Ooh. Well, he's a muckety-muck, all right. He's he's fair-skinned and tall and pale. He's a slender gentleman. Last we saw, he was wearing purple and yellow striped silks. Crumpled hat, perhaps, with a feather in it.
Navarre just took a giant bite of cheese, and she whips her head around and says, "I'm sorry, what?"
Yes, isn't it ridiculous? A feather in his hat.
She tries to chew a bunch so that she can talk without looking like an animal. And she goes, "Oh, this poor sap. All right, well, now I really feel inclined to help."
Is he a human?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's all we need to know.
Okay.
Basically helpless.
Skinny, pale human. Got it.
Navarre kind of gives both of you the side eye. Has also, not human, but half elf, and very pale.
Mm-hmm. Riot is writing down in her little notebook, basically helpless, is his name.
Helpless and shiny.
And snaps it close.
That's your CSI notebook there. All right, so as you've agreed, Lita, she goes around the well, and she's, I'm ever so thankful. We do have this secret entrance that will take you directly to the Crooked Forest, straight by the well here. And she opens up a trapdoor near the well, and below the trapdoor, it reveals this winding staircase.
Navarre's eyes kind of light up. She's all like, "Oh, secret entrance. That sounds rad."
Riot rolls insight to check and make sure that they're not going to get walk into a trap. And she rolls a 12.
Lita is completely on the up and up.
Okay, just double checking.
Yeah.
I like how Navarre was super skeptical at first, and then she got booze and food, and was like, "Secret entrance, yeah, I'm down.
Give it to me."
Yeah.
Rose pulls out a torch.
Ooh. Excellent. All right. And lights it. Are you heading down?
We're heading down.
Yes. We descend.
I'd like to make note that Navarre stashes the rest of the bread and cheese, you know, for later.
Sure. You might get blue cheese later, Riot.
I've got Rose has the torch in one hand and her cheese block bread crump in the other hand, and is just like kind of eating it, nibbling at it while holding the torch.
All right. So you head down, and it winds and it bends, and you feel like it's going up on an incline, and eventually it opens up to another, like a trap door, that you can open up above you.
Riot kind of pushes against it with one arm.
It opens very easily.
Oh! Rose throws the last bit of food in her mouth, and are we climbing up through the trapdoor?
Navarra kind of reacts. She's like, that was a little too convenient.
I'm sure it's fine.
Riot opens up her wings, and with a quick silent flap, like, shoots up like a little jump fly. Nope, that's not a word. an enhanced jump up into the space.
A grasshopper?
Yes.
Got it.
Nice.
She looks around with her dark vision, thinking, boy, I hope I am alone in here.
Navarra rolls her eyes with a smirk and like, oh, not everyone has wings. But then she kind of scrambles up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Riot puts her tail down for Rose to come up.
Thank you.
And lifts her up.
Aw. That way I don't have to put my torch out. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you.
Anytime.
So when you all stand outside the trapdoor there, you see that you are definitely in the Crooked Forest, because it has earned its name as Crooked Forest. Certain trees, like white oaks and maples, are completely bent and gnarled, and you know, others stand really tall and reach for the sky. The trees here are really, really densely packed together, making the forest sort of challenging to navigate, and it seems like you have to only go in one direction.
This doesn't seem natural.
Mm-mm.
Well, looks like we can only go this way, so let's go.
Is it light enough that I can turn off my torch? Because I'm a little worried that we're going to attract attention. And by turn off, yes, I mean put can. Out.
It's not a flashlight? Okay. Yes.
You can candy put out, switch. You can put out
your... Navarre's like, Navarre turns to Rose and goes, human, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fully.
Maybe it's back not... of the line, just because I'm pretty sure we have dark vision, so we can get you covered.
Awesome. Riot comes up and goes, she smirks and goes, 60 feet.
What? I can't even run that fast.
It's not super dark, except in parts where it's completely gnarled, but all of you can see fairly clearly. And as you move ahead, eventually you round a bend in the sparse trail just in time to see this golden maple just slams a leafy branch on a dead shrub, while this smaller, like, flowering tree sort of shivers as if there's a strong wind blowing through it. And you see there's the faintest outline of a face on the smaller tree's bark. Its tiny mouth opens, but before it can say a single word, the dead shrub, it unfolds and rises and attacks.
Riot pulls out her short sword and starts moving silently as the forest is her natural terrain along the sides of the opening of the forest. She's like shuffling silently.
I will shuffle the other direction. Rose will shuffle the other direction.
Do we need a roll to shuffle silently?
Yeah. You need to. I'm going to ask you to roll for stealth.
Okay. I can do that.
Ooh, shit.
Maybe on the table.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That is a number.
Do I get, like, proficiency for forest stuff? Or just difficult terrain doesn't? I don't think that's it. Damn it.
Yeah, no.
I rolled a 9.
That's a 22 for Navarre.
Okay, so Navarre's good.
I have pretty high. Okay, I got an 11.
All right. Rose trips on a tree root because she's human and she can't see in the dark.
That is exactly what happened. And as you thud to the ground, the dead shrub humanoid thing turns its attention towards you. And now, I want you to roll for initiative. Hey everyone, this is Kat. Thanks so much for listening to D20 Dames. If you like this podcast, we'd love it if you could tell your friends and share it on social media. You can find us and all of our links at d20dames.com, so check us out. And that's it for now. Until next time, misadventure awaits.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/D20Dames.